these coaches soon. It's almost your time. Y'all nervous? You know you're nervous. Oh, yes, you are. You're sweating. Now, how many coaches you know you're coming up here in a minute? Raise your hand if you're coming. There's one over here, and there's another one over here, and another one over here, another one back over here. We missing somebody? We'll find them. All right. Come on. Before they come, I want to just give a brief word. Amen? A little time in the Word, not long. So now we're rolling. Y'all ready to roll? Come on. Here we go. Let's go with the Word this morning. Want to be able to have a little time with you? Say that word with me. Now, if you said it like that on the football team, we'd lose, wouldn't we, Coach? Can you say finish like you want to finish?
Finish!
How's that, Coach? It's a little bit better. One more time. Give it all you got. One, two, three.
Finish,
man. You want to finish in the Christian life or not? Come on. Well, this happened and that happened. Is that going to be the story of your life from here on out? Well, this happened, that happened. That's why I'm not doing anything. That's why I'm a failure. That's why I'm looking like I look. Is that the plan here, say? Craziness. No. As coaches, we cannot honestly tell the team, you will win every game. We can't do that. We want to win every game. But what we can do is we can help them to finish. You can finish every game. Did you know that? Yes or no? You can finish every game. Together as a team, we can finish every game. Get out there and give our best effort, and we can what? The Christian life. Let's talk about it just for a moment before these coaches come here. If you want to finish, you've got to say that with me. You've got to do what? Push yourself to finish. Well, I just go to church, just lay me down to sleep, whatever. Don't be surprised if you're not a finisher. Don't be surprised if you keep getting overwhelmed. Okay, God, greater is He that's in me than He that's in this world. Did you hear me? Yes or no? I was driving down the road this week, and the Lord just touched me, just blessed me. Just scriptures you know I can do. Say that with me. I what? I do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I am more than. Say that with me. I am than a conqueror through Him who loved me. Is that what the Bible says? That's exactly what the Bible says. All things do. Say that with me. All things work together for good to them that love God. Oh, but not me. It's because you're not pushing yourself to finish. Are y'all listening or not this morning? Okay, let's go with a little message this morning. Well, Paul had a fellow, a young fellow named Timothy that he was training to be a pastor, to help him, to lead. And this guy was going through it, man. He was hurting. So Paul helped him a little bit, and I want to help us with some scripture, not long. He says to Timothy, let no man despise your youth. Be an example of the believers in word, conversation, charity, spirit, faith, and purity. Till I come. I'm coming. Coach is coming back. Until I get there, you give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. And don't neglect the gift that's in you that was given you by prophecy with the laying on the hands of the presbytery. Keep going. Meditate upon these things. Give yourself what? Holy to them, that your profiting may do what? Appear to everybody. Take heed to yourself. Say that with me. Take heed to. Half a church's problem is we worried about what somebody else is doing. How about take heed to who? Take heed to who? You think you're going to finish for somebody else, or you're going to finish for you? Absolutely. Take heed to yourself. And unto doctrine, continuing them, for in doing this you're going to save who? Yourself, and you're also going to save some other folks along the way. Amen. So, let's look real quick. Probably about 3-4 minutes left of this. Say that with me. Push yourself. How can I push myself to finish? Y'all ain't going to sleep on me yet, have you? Come on, I just got started. Come on, here we go. Push yourself to finish. What was Paul saying? Saying to Timothy, and we're saying to you today, don't let the negatives that others say determine who you are. Say that with me. Don't let the negatives that others say determine who you are. Well, I guess I can't finish because Mama said it. I guess I can't finish because so-and-so said I couldn't. Are you kidding me? Said I can't. Is that how you're going to live life? With your finger in the air? Hey, is that what we're going to do here? No. So don't let the negatives that others say determine. He said, let no man do what? People coming up to Timothy, you young, you don't know what you're talking about. You can't do it. He says, don't listen to them. Don't stand for it. You hearing me? So don't let the negatives others say determine who you are. Let's keep rolling, Raj. Number two. Lead by what? If you want to be a finisher, do what? Lead by what? Oh, so-and-so let me down. Oh, so-and-so. You know, we get our eyes on people and we quit. We get on our eyes instead of on the prize, on other, some other runner, and they drop out, so we drop out. Is that the plan here? How about you run to the end? How about you lead by example? How about you finish? How about you not be a quitter? How about that? Amen. Say. That's what he's saying. Let no man despise your youth, Timothy. Be an example of the believers. How? In word, conversation, charity, spirit, faith, and purity. Till I come. And don't forget I'm coming. You know what Jesus said he's coming again? Oh, yeah. Give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. So how do I lead by example? Paul talking to Timothy. By what you say. How can you be a finisher? Be an example. By what you say, by the way you live your life. If your life really matters and it matters to other people as well, it's going to drive you to be a finisher for the Lord. In your life, this is what he told Timothy. By your what? By your faith. Uh-oh, and here's a word. In your what? Don't expect to have God's blessings if you're not wanting to do right. Uh-oh. Did you hear me this morning or not? Oh, I love Jesus. Yeah, you want to live and not do the right thing? Are you kidding me here? Why don't you do the right thing and see what God will do for you and bless your life? And he will absolutely, you'll see incredible things in your life. But if you know, I don't care. I can complain. I quit. Doesn't matter. Bull. You listening? Come on. Number three, how do I finish? Never neglect the ability. Sit with me. Never neglect the ability that God has given who? And always give your what? Why not as good as somebody else? What's that got to do with it, lazy? Come on. Push. Come on. That's what he said. Neglect not the gift that's in you, which was given you by the of prophecy. Come on. Don't neglect your gift. You have something you can do for God. Keep doing it. Amen. Woo, I'm wore out. 5 minutes. Number four. Say that with me. Throw completely into what? And you want to be a finisher? Quit doing things halfway. Quit thinking you're okay, comparing yourself. The Bible says if you compare yourself with somebody else, you're not wise. Well, I'm good as them. I'm better than them. I'm doing good over them, according to them. How about measure yourself according to Jesus? Then how you doing? You coming up short, ain't you? So keep doing, man. Keep doing. Keep doing. Throw yourself into believing God and living for God and serving God. Paul says to Timothy, son, I know people picking on you and calling you young and all that. They don't believe in you. I understand that. He's talking to him. Listen, you meditate upon these things. You give yourself wholly to them. I'm going to guarantee it right now. They're going to see you as a leader. They're going to see you as profiting. They're going to see you as a finisher. And they're going to get behind you, man. They're going to get behind you. Take heed to yourself, to the doctrine that you've been taught in the Word of God. Continue in it. And doing this, you're going to save yourself. And you're going to save other folk. Amen. So we're done with my part this morning. Say that with me. You think you're going to finish if you don't push yourself? Fat chance. Keep looking. Quitting's not an option. Nor will it ever be for me. Quitting is not an option, nor is it going to ever be an option for me. I want to always be a father that Elise Clark can look up to and say, that's my dad. A husband that Kim can say, I'm proud to be married to him. A church that you can say of Pastor Clark, no, the man ain't perfect. No. But he's a good man. Quitting's not an option for me. Say that with me. Quitting is not an option. Can we say it pretty loud so the devil hears it this morning? Quitting is not an option for me. I'm going to finish, baby. I'm going to finish. Say it. Say it with the old apostle. Say it with the old apostle Paul. Say it this morning. I have. Let's thank the Lord for His Word this morning. Come on, here we go. Come on. Yeah. All right, coaches, come on up. Come on up, coaches. I ain't got all day. Come on, you should run after that. You should be jogging. You should be jogging up here. Come on, just get a stool. And you don't know who, you don't know the number you getting called in. You don't know the order. You don't know nothing about it. Amen. Come on, brother. How you doing? Amen. Praise God. Rog, you ready back there? How you doing, coach? Are you ready back there, Rog? I'm going to introduce them first. Get ready with your pictures. I'm going to introduce them. Here we go. Come on. Hey, coach, how you doing, brother? Got a stool for everybody? Do they look like they're on the hot seat? Can you welcome coaches right here from Inglewood, Florida? Hey, let's meet them, Rog. We'll start from this end. Let's meet them right here on the big screen. Well, that's me, by the way. But let's meet them. Here's Coach Mike Schick. Make him welcome, YMCA Wellness Director, Wrestling. Mr. Coach Chuck Bears, Lemon Bay High School Basketball and Golf. Mr. DJ Ogilvy, Head Football Coach, Lemon Bay High School, and also math. Teaches math, baby. Come on. Mr. Coach Joe Casal, Lemon Bay High School Cross Country Track and History. Mr. Bob Norris, President of the Little Guys, man, the Pop Warner League right here in Inglewood, Florida. Mr. Don Southwell, he is the Lemon Bay High School Defensive Coordinator. He's also weightlifting coach and math. Mr. Southwell, come on. And Mr. Ray Baker, he is Inglewood Rookie League Manager. Right here teaches those kids how to play baseball, baby. Come on. All right, y'all ready? I ain't got my... I'm moving now. Here we go. Drawing the numbers. Coach Bears, how you doing, buddy? You know I'm going to pick on you. Come on. Come on. You'll get done. How about that? Amen. You doing all right? Come on. Coach Bears, welcome him this morning. Testify.
Kind of funny because I was out of town for a couple weeks and I didn't even know. I knew we were having Coach Ryan come and then Mr. Pastor Coach Clark, Gary, as I always call him. My wife yells at me all the time. He's a pastor. I know. But they said there's Coach's Sunday and I was like, oh. I knew I was speaking. No, that's all right. I love speaking to the church, sharing my testimony. I won't go into deep details about it, but I was saved in 2000, February of 2000. Actually, Gary led me to the Lord. I struggled through life, as a lot of us have. Right out of high school, 10 days out of high school, I went and joined the Marine Corps. Got in the Marine Corps, and you have a bunch of time besides training for the military to protect the country and serve your country. There's a lot of downtime. A lot of downtime meant a lot of alcohol for me. Then after I got out of the Marine Corps, probably about 3 months afterwards, I moved to Florida, and I still had this problem. And I started coaching, actually, at Lemon Bay High School in 1993. Wow. And still had this problem in the back of my head. A lot of people didn't know about it. But in 2000, I... left Lemon Bay High School as a coach and went and started, for some reason, I mean, I know why now, God was telling me, you need to change. In January of 2000, I left and I started going to Calvary Baptist Church down on Pine Street. And since I had coaching experience, I was became the basketball coach down there and athletic director. And, it was kind of weird how it worked out because they hired me as a coach and everything, and I wasn't saved at the time. A month later, from going to church, they said, you need to be in church every Sunday. That's one of the requirements. And I said, okay, you know, God's knocking on my door, so something's changing here, so that's not a problem. And then February 7th, year 2000, Pastor Clark, I went up to him after, and I had been involved in the basketball program for about a month, and I said, I need to talk to you. He sat down, talked to me, counseled with me, and because of my best friend in the world, he led me to the Lord. And Ever since then, me and my wife, I got married in 2001 in September to Dina. We moved to New Jersey, ran a family business for about 8 years, and I kept telling her, I'm ready to go back into coaching. She goes, oh, no, I know you love coaching. Because when we got married, I quit coaching because, as we all know and all our wives know, our wives are very, very special people because these coaches and myself, we put in so much time into coaching, and we thank our wives every day because the coaches spend so much time. And at that time, when I first met her, I was coaching football, basketball, and Coach Ogilvie, the first one, Coach Southwell, coaching football, high school football, is like 18 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's how it is. And so I said to my wife, I was like, I'm going to quit to be fair to you. So that's what I did. I quit coaching, went to New Jersey, came back from New Jersey, and Coach Huber, who's the basketball coach, said, I came and visited in January before we moved back, 2011, and he's like, I need an assistant back. And I've been coaching with him since 1993. I said, well, we're moving back. And so since then, I've been there. I just got hired at Lemon Bay as a security guy last school year. And in May of this year, they also hired me as the head golf coach. So I'm so blessed by God, and I give him all the credit. Thank you.
Coach Bear! Come on, baby.
Good word. Amen. Ray Baker, come on, buddy. Come on up. You got about 3-4 minutes, and you're going to hear 1 minute.
Come on. Welcome, Ray Baker, this morning. Come on. Coach Ray. Love you, man.
Thanks, sir.
I haven't slept the last two nights because I really hate public speaking, but,
most people do.
My story begins very early. My parents were very young. They were 20 and 15 when they got pregnant with me. My mother was 15. By the time I was in kindergarten, we were very poor, so my mother went back to work. So I would come home from school and I'd be home for 3 or 4 hours by myself. I watched my first hardcore pornographic video when I was 5. By the time I was 9, my parents had divorced, and I still don't know why I decided to live with my father. He did not take the divorce very well. He would wake me up in the morning before school about 6 or 6:30, and I would not see him again until the next morning at 6 or 6:30. I might get up and go to school, or I might just go back to sleep, whatever I wanted to do. And he would go to work all day. He would stay at the bar all night. He would close it down. He'd get home 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning. I would already be in bed. And so this continued for probably 5 years. And he eventually, I was about 15 when he remarried. He would then binge drink. He wouldn't drink constantly, but he would go usually about once a month. He would drink for 3 or 4 days straight. And usually by the second or third day, he and my stepmother would have physical altercations because she was a very violent and angry person. And so by the time I was 16, I was breaking up physical altercations. I would have to drive my dad around all night to avoid the fights. I was fortunate enough to meet a young lady when I was 16 who invited me to church, and it was a very small town country church who the pastor and his wife and their family kind of took me in, if you will, became my second family. So I got to hang around with them, and then I would go home. I have two very drastic different views of what a family is. So I came to know who Christ was in that church before I graduated. But I still, I don't want to say didn't take it seriously, but I still couldn't get away, maybe, with all the, you know, the stuff at home. I could never escape. I didn't fully trust. You know, when you raise yourself, you become very self-reliant, and that doesn't make for a good relationship, whether that's with Christ or the spouse. So I went into the military myself as well. I went into the Air Force. Sorry. Oh, Chuck's over there. I thought he's moved on me. So I went into the Air Force where I would, again, I tried a time or two to try and meet with Christ again. It, as he said, lots of alcohol, lots of parties, what have you. I met my beautiful wife. We eventually got married. And we got a computer and internet. So the pornography habit exploded. It's an addiction just like any drug you will find. So I've struggled for years. I've been tormented by Satan for years, honestly, up until maybe even a year ago. I fought and fought and fought. But thanks to Jesus, again, I don't have those struggles with pornography. Obviously, the lust that comes with it, I'll face till the day I die. But Jesus has taken the desire for pornography away. You know, studies show that 50% of the men in the church, not out there, 50% of the men in the church struggle with this. So if there's any of you out there, you're not alone. Pornography is an addiction that's based on fear and shame. It will keep you from reaching out because Satan will make you believe that you're not worthy, that you're not good enough. Every time that you go back to that addiction, it will bury you deeper inside of yourself. Please, if you're struggling with this, find somebody you trust. Find somebody you trust. Don't tell just anybody, but find somebody you trust. And I got to say, girls are not immune. Teenage girls and young women are the fastest growing consumer segment of online pornography today. So please, please don't feel that, you know, girls are immune either. But I stand up here before you today to let you know that there is hope in Jesus.
Come on.
It's not an easy road. It's not a short road. But there is hope. Thank you for your time.
Amen. God bless you, buddy. Get a seat. Amen. Oh, boy, I tell you, I said to him, you and I ain't a whole lot different. Uh-oh. No, that's what people say about me. I can relate to you because, see, I'm pastor of fellowship. What does that mean? I'm above you? No, it doesn't mean I'm above you at all. I'm just like you. I struggle. These men talk about struggles. I struggle with them. And I've talked to most of them up here about struggles in their own life. And thank you, Ray. Didn't know he was going to do that. It's good for us today to hear honesty and just hear something real. Amen. Good. Praise God. Amen. 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 Here, I'm on. Come on. Come on, brother. Come on. I love you, man. Love all you guys. Here. Well, welcome, Coach Don Southwell today. Amen. Come on.
Boy, just lay it out.
All right. Well, I was sitting back there a few minutes ago thinking, wow, it's dark in here. Now I figured out why when I got up here. All the lights are right here. I'm probably better equipped, certainly more qualified to stand up here and talk about something like 4-3 cover 2 defense. But I'm not ashamed of Jesus Christ. And if he could hang on a tree for my sorry tale, I can squirm a little bit under these lights. For a few minutes. I give credit to my parents. I was raised in church. I knew the importance of God. There's never a time in my life where I didn't know there was a God, that I don't remember not believing in Jesus. But church for me early on, we lived in the country. You know, we were middle class at best. You put your best clothes on and you went in there, and for an hour you acted like you were perfect. And then you went and watched football or went fishing or what, you know, and then you did it again on Sunday. Faith for me at that time, and I was young, it just wasn't real to me. It was something we pretended maybe on Sundays. Then as a teenager, I got invited to this youth revival, they called it, at a church. One of my friends in school, his father was a pastor, and they were having this revival, and I thought, hey, everybody's going, I'm going. So I went, and for the first time I heard, you're going to hell. It's not enough just to get dressed on Sunday morning and go to church. You're going to hell without Jesus. And I'd never, that reality had never hit me in the face before. And at the end of that service, there was an altar call, and I said, I don't want to go to hell. Sounds bad. So I answered that call. I went and I prayed, and I asked Jesus into my life as a teenager, but I wasn't equipped to live a Christian life. I expected, like, I'm gonna ask Jesus into my life, and then the church is going to open, and lightning's going to strike me, and I'm going to be perfect. So I got punched in the face pretty early on after asking Jesus into my life. I thought I had to do it. I thought I had to be good enough. I had to put the show on, and I struggled with that. And went off to the University of Florida. I know there's some Ohio State guys in the house, but that's all right. Everybody needs Jesus, right? Some more than others. But I went off to the University of Florida, and I failed in my own strength. I started chasing things that weren't of God. Like some of the men here talked, I discovered alcohol. My mom always said if she could have got me educated some other way than sending me off to college, she would have, because the bad habits that I picked up there. So I did. I began to drink alcohol, and I certainly wasn't living for Christ. But in 2000, I moved to Inglewood. I left that kind of college atmosphere, moved here, and in 2003, I think God just said, all right, boy, you've had enough of this waste in your life, and he sent me an angel. She's sitting back there.
Yes, she is.
At that time, my weekends consisted of school's out on Friday, get home as fast as I can, hook to the boat, throw some beers in there, get out on the water, just make sure you're in on time to go to school on Monday and teach. So Sundays, it wasn't about church for me. Even though I had asked Christ into my life early on, I had kind of turned my back on that. And was just serving myself. And so she said, hey, you want to go to church? And I thought, I'd rather go fishing, but I want to date you and you're going to church, so I'm going with you. And it was Fellowship Church. This was about 12 years ago. And right after you had opened. And I found people that weren't pretending. Faith started to become real for me. I finally heard the truth that I couldn't do it. If I could do it, Jesus wouldn't have died on a tree for me. He did it. It's already done. And I started to realize that and start telling the devil to shut his mouth when he would tell me that you're not good enough, you'll never be good enough, you can't do this, you're not really saved, God doesn't love you. All the lies that he throws at us all the time. So I recommitted my life to Christ here in this church, and in 2007, on Easter Sunday, got baptized by Pastor Clark, and by no means do I have it all figured out, but I know which team I'm on. And that's what matters.
Come on, buddy. Coach Southwest.
Good job. I love you. You're a blessing. Amen. Bob Norris. Now, Bob, you and I probably met how long ago?
3 years.
Was it 3 years? Was it that long? Man, I'm getting old. Yeah. On the Pop Warner field, really?
Yeah.
And then you actually came to see me, though. When was that?
That was about a year and a half ago.
About a year and a half ago, where I started to know you. And I started to see you show up at church.
Yep.
Well, Bob is the president of our Pop Warner. And Pop Warner is a big deal, I mean, as far as the kids playing here. So I've asked Bob to speak, and he looked shocked when I did, but I'm glad you're here today. And just share a little bit, about 3 minutes, about what God's done in your life. Amen. Welcome Bob Norris today. Amen. Come on.
Well, I was always, I knew God. My parents brought me to church every Sunday. To a Catholic church. was born and raised in Detroit City, rough place. Well, it got so bad that my parents decided to move us to Florida. So we moved to Port Charlotte, Florida, which basically junior high school on up. Well, I met a woman, got married, had two beautiful daughters.
Yay, that is pretty.
They are right there. And life was going good. But life was going so good that I forgot about the most important thing in my life, which was God. So I backed out of his life. Wow. So guess what? He backed out of my life. Wow. So I kept going and going. Opened a business. Business started thriving during the boom. I was making tons of money. Come home, give my daughters $100 every other day. Here, go shopping. Have a good time. So, you know, what God giveth, God will taketh away. Well, I found out my wife of 20 years was having an affair on me. So I tried to keep my family together. That didn't work out. So at the same time, the economy crashed. I got stuck with $2.5 million in debt. So it was the hardest thing I ever had to go through in my life. I would get on my knees, take my little walks, because they would calm me down these abandoned streets, and I would fall to my knees just crying. How do you overcome something like this? You lost your business, your family, no jobs to be had. I'm living with my 40 years old, I'm living with my mom. Then my brother is a minister on the other coast. He comes over to see me and started talking the scriptures to me. You know, yeah, what do you know? You're not going through this. But the more I listened, the more I prayed. And I found out that money is nothing. Fame, nothing. So I prayed to God to give me somebody that needed me as much as I needed them. Bam! Met my wife, Desiree. And God gave me a perk. I have two daughters. She has two sons. So I was able to raise two boys that I never had. My daughters had two brothers that they always wanted. Then I got into Pop Warner football because I wanted to teach my sons football. As things progressed and things went on, I kept searching for the Lord. I brought my wife to the Lord, showed her the way. And I will honestly say to this day, my wife is now teaching me about the Lord. She also runs the concession stand for all those kids at Pop Warner, which is a task in itself. And every time I get down or upset with myself, she's the one who brings me back up. All right. Thank you.
Amen. $5 is pretty good. That's scary right there, ain't it?
I know, he's like shaking. I said, that's scary right there. He said, it is. Are y'all having a good time? Good. Well, we got three more and we're not leaving them out. You got that right? Come on, here we go. All righty. Coach DJ Ogilvy, head football, Lemon Bay High School. Amen, buddy. God bless you, man. Welcome to Coach.
Thanks, Coach. When I moved here 4 years ago to become the head football coach, Gary came up to me the one day and said, we're at the meet the team spaghetti dinner. He said, I need something to do on Friday nights. Can I help you out? And he's been a huge blessing to me and the boys on our football team. And, you know, as a football coach, I got Coach Southwell. We great friends coach together. And you would think on Friday nights before a game, you know, the head weightlifting coach or the head football coach would talk to the team before we go out to the field. But it's Coach Clark. And if you think he's crazy in here on Sunday mornings, come Friday night. All right. But he's been a huge blessing. I'm not going to talk about myself. I'm just going to talk about our football team real quick and why I know what Coach Southwell does and I do in our football program to try to help kids and mentor. But we went to football camp 2 weeks ago at Fellowship of Christian Athletes. Coach Southwell and I run the FCA at Lemon Bay. And that was over at, it was over at Ave Maria University. And Braden was there, and I don't know if they I know I didn't expect what was going to go on at FCA, but just to give you a quick story, we have a young man that I don't know if he knew the Lord beforehand. I have no idea. But at camp, we come back, and I get a text message from one of our coaches, and he said, hey, one of your young players wanted to get a tattoo of Job 33:4. And, you know, our coach said, well, if you're going to, you know, put that on your body, you better back it up by your life. And it's, you know, the breath of the Almighty gives me life. And listen, as a head football coach, there's nothing that compares to winning a football game on Friday night. Man, it's exciting. You put in all that work. You see kids excited. And all your, you know, your hard work comes to fruition on Friday night. And there's nothing like it. But the hair on my arms and my legs and my back stands up when I hear stories that maybe we had a small part in helping young men. Listen, I get no more excitement than when I hear a kid that I've played, that's played for me in the past, that's maybe changed their life or become a Christian. You know, that's multiplied tenfold over winning a Friday night game. So, so I just want to ask for your prayers to help our football team. And, you know, without being a head football coach, I couldn't try to do my little part of helping young men change to become Christians. So thanks, Coach Clark.
Amen. Thank you, buddy. Thank you, man. That's a story. Thank you. I love you. You matter. You matter to me. Amen. I love that man. Amen. And love the ball team. And one of the best things you can do, I'm flat out telling you, well, I don't like football. You're going to love it. Get off your tail on Friday night. Come out to Lemon Bay. Amen. What is it, $5? Is it $5 to get into a football? Best money you'll spend? Are you kidding me? Wear a fellowship shirt on your body and come on out and support our players, amen, and the staff. It's incredible. It's coming up soon. When's the first game? August 28th. Say August 28th. Amen. Can you say Minnesota Vikings? Oh, well, stop. Yeah, there you go. Here we go. All right. Here we go. We've got two more to go. Here we go. Coach Joe Casal. Amen. Welcome, Coach Joe. Cross country and track.
Thank you. All right. Before we get started, you know, Donald being a Florida guy, I'm from Youngstown, Ohio. So just for you, for all my Ohio people, OH! All right. A couple weeks ago when Pastor Clark asked me to do this, I just quickly jumped at him. I'm like, yeah, sure, no problem. I'm comfortable talking in front of people, usually about government and economics. You know, I'm like, I'm good. And I talked to my lovely wife about it. My mother-in-law bought the house next door to us just recently. And a lot of people laugh at that. And I'm like, well, she's next door. She's not living in our house. So we were painting. We're helping. You know, she's still up north. So we're painting the inside. You know, we got new floors laid in the house for her. So we're helping her out. So when she comes down here, some work's already done. And she asked me about it. And I was like, I was struggling a little bit on how to approach what I was going to say today. And talking with her, it really clicked in my mind. And for me, I was a lot like Coach Southwell in the sense that I grew up in a very strong, stable family. My parents been together, you know, for 50 years plus. And we went to church every Sunday, every Wednesday, Baptist church up in Ohio. And, you know, as a little guy, I understood, you know, God and Jesus, Sunday school. My father even taught Sunday school. So it was one of those things that I understood, but I was so young that I really couldn't really understand the relationship with Jesus. But before I could get to that point, something happened at the church. And I was way too young to know. My parents never told me. And to be honest, I never asked. Because my dad was really involved. I remember I even went to school at that church. And one day I got pulled out of school. And I was enrolled in the public schools. And we stopped going to church. And we even had people that went to church with us to come to the house and tried to convince my parents, you need to come back to church. But something happened with the pastor there that really turned off my parents. And we never really had that conversation. To be honest, I was probably too young for that conversation. So I went through those middle school years. And everybody knows in middle school, no one will look back on their life and go, wow, middle school, what a great 3 years of my life. It's almost like you need to be a caged animal a little bit at that time. And I taught in the middle school for a few years. It's quite an experience. But as I got into high school, my dad and I had many conversations. My dad is really strong in his faith, and he's battled cancer over the last few years. He actually just had a procedure last week. So he really battles. And so we've had many conversations, and I remember going to the mall Christmas time and that, and we'd talk about relationship with Jesus. And I knew Jesus was salvation. But it was one of those things as a young guy, you struggle with it. And I remember a good friend of mine, his name was Willie Fant. Really felt bad because we used to make fun of his sister. His sister was a heavy girl. We used to call her Elephant. It was terrible. It was terrible. It was terrible. But Willie was such a great, he was a great guy. And to be a high school kid and be just that strong. And, you know, kids used to give him a hard time, you know, because he was, you know, in high school at times, you know, people are mean when you're really out there with Christ. And, you know, people, I remember this one kid, he would steal candy bars from the lunch line. Then you'd give them to Willie. Willie would eat it and go, ha ha, you Christian, you just ate a stolen candy bar. You know, and I thought about stuff like that, and I'm like, wow, that's a horrible thing to do. But I remember one time Willie was over our house, and the kids used to come to our house, and we still have just epic basketball games in the front yard, battles. And I remember one day, I can't remember what the conversation was, but that time Willie looked at me and goes, do you know Jesus? And I'm like, yeah, Willie. But as he talked to me, I began to realize, you know what? I don't know Jesus the way I need to know Jesus. And I thought it was unique that a kid my own age pulled me aside and talked to me right there in my driveway. I dropped to my knees and prayed for Jesus to come into my life. Okay? And and from that point, it's been a struggle, obviously. And I feel like the thing that really solidified it was actually on tax day. It's funny to say that because I met my beautiful wife. She caught me staring at her at a training. It was Seven Habits training for those of you in Charlotte County Public Schools. And I remember I got back to the school and Coach Messina, his wife was one of the ones working the training, and she told him. And that next day we had a meeting in our principal's office, Mr. Jeffers' office. And he started making fun of me. He's like, man, you're at Seven Habits training picking up women. And my principal's like, I'm taking away your duty leave. I'm going to make you take personal time. But when I met my beautiful wife now, that really has led me back on path because we decided that we needed to go back to church. She's been through many struggles in her life. All right, and because of that relationship, I now have a daughter. Okay? And I praise God every day for what I have. And that's just very, very special to me. And I continue to battle my relationship with Jesus. And I pray all you do the same.
Coach, I love that. Good man. Good word, buddy. Good word. Yeah, flirting out there, trying to have training. He's all that. Look at that. Come on. Last one, anchoring the team today, weightlifter. I mean, not weightlifter. You do lift weights, so don't you? But wrestler. And do you say wrestler or wrestling?
You can do either.
Do either. Hey, tell me about the championship. You went last year and this year or something like that?
I didn't go last year, but I went 2 years before that.
Where'd you go?
Budapest, Hungary, and Sarajevo, Bosnia.
And you fought people in your weight age group or what?
I did, and same age, same weight, from all over the world. Turkey, Azerbaijan, Hungary, Russia, you name it.
And I want to know this. Did you beat them?
Yeah. I did.
Champion right here. Mr. Mike, shoot.
I want to know why I'm the one that's going last. You help me carry the anxiety for what? 1, 2, 3, 4, 6, 5, 6. Jeez. How many of you guys are going to be staying to see Coach Ryan in the next service? So just a little bit of background with Coach Ryan. He's someone that I hated dearly for maybe 2 or 3 years of my college life. I wrestled at Ohio State, and Tom was my nemesis. I wrestled him maybe 7, 8 times, never beat him. And he was the guy that I actually tried to work towards to try and beat because he was winning the things that I wanted to win. But just won the NCAA team title for Ohio State this year. And it's good. I listened to Coach Ogilvie. He was talking about Fellowship of Christian Athletes. And maybe 6, 7 months ago, I heard Tom's story. He was given to a prayer breakfast, Fellowship of Christian Athletes in Georgia. And it really moved me because my life kind of paralleled his. He said all the way up until he was mid-30s, nothing really happened in his life. It was pretty much relatively easy. If I could get a show of hands, if you look back on your life as a child growing up all the way through maybe high school and into college or whatever, that could say they had a great, great childhood. I had the best upbringing. I was from Pleasantville. I mean, we could have had Laura Ingalls in our house. I mean, we had a little house in the prairie. I mean, so for me, nothing really happened. I went through, I had a brother who was abusive to me in a sense where you get the sibling rivalry. You know, he always used to take me down, beat me up, so my folks put us in wrestling. And then the rest is history, right? But there wasn't really anything that happened to me in my life. Everything was good. I mean, even my dad, he had cancer when I was 10. And I look at my dad as the strongest man alive. What he's gone through in his life, it's like a great example of what to lead. So for my life going, you know, all the way up into adulthood, I had an example that you fought, and that was your strength. We had God in our life. We went to catechism. I did the first communion thing, and we went to church. We went to, you know, the Eastern Mass and all the Christmas, you name it. But not until something happened to me did I question God. I never even questioned God when he had cancer. I don't know if you guys know me from living here in the community, but my parents almost died in a car accident when I was a freshman in high school. But a month before that, I ended up going to the 28-day intensive wrestling camp out in Iowa. And I say that because when you go through 4 practices a day for 28 days, that's what the camp was, a 28-day intensive camp, you have this strength in you that you could take on anything, emotionally and physically. So going into my life, you know, the worst that ever happened to me was, you know, my brother beating me up, or you'll see when Tom comes, he'll talk about his story. The worst that ever happened to him is he lost in the finals of the NCAA tournament. For me, it was the same thing. I mean, I remember losing at my senior year at the NCAAs and not just crying but bawling because I had just lost. I mean, I still feel it today. But, I mean, it's crazy. I'll get teary-eyed over it because I got a hole in my heart over it. But that's the worst that's ever happened to me until I got into adulthood. Now, I heard somebody up here talk about divorce. Guys, I went through divorce maybe 7, 8 years ago. It's the worst thing that ever happened in my life. I'll probably get a little emotional. Do some jumping jacks. Oh, there. It's gone. See that? So going through divorce, it's not just on you anymore. It's on your kids. I had 2 kids. So you try and, you know, maneuver your way through that. And let me tell you, it's a hard thing to do. I mean, my parents have been married for 50 years, and they gave me a wonderful example of what to do. Jumpy jacks again. Okay, 2, 3, 4, 5. All right. So how do I do that? How do I lead by example before my kids? So I remember 2 months out of being divorced, I'm away from my kids. I only get them 50% of the time. So I'm like, I got to go to church again. Not that I wasn't going, but I'm like, I got to find something. So I had just moved back here into town maybe a couple of years, 4 or 5 years before, and I got up one Sunday and I started driving. I drove down Inglewood Road to go to the Catholic Church because I grew up a Catholic. I went to all the catechisms. And I remember getting to the parking lot off the church off of Inglewood Road, and there was a million cars, but not a person in sight. And it was like, I'm not getting out of the car. I'm not going to go do this. I'll feel like an idiot walking in there. So I struggle with myself, and I'm like, I'm leaving. I'm going to go to the one in Placida. So I got in the car, and I hauled tail all the way down into Placida. I'm going to go to that one. I get there, and the same thing. The only person that was outside was the guy that was the police officer that was manning the roads. And I'm like, I'm not doing this either. And I was mad as a hornet. I turned around, I did a U-turn, and I started coming back into town, and I see these signs for Fellowship Church. Fellowship. There's another one. Fellowship. There's another one. There's Fellowship. And there was people in the parking lot, so I'm like, I'm coming in. I snuck into the back. You know, I came in, and is Edna out here? Edna, she gave me my hug. And I can tell you now that since I've been here, my hugs have gotten much deeper and stronger. And but that day, I mean, it was like the the friend zone. So I they don't know me. I don't. So I'm like, I'm going to sneak up. I'm going to go all the way up to the back. And I'm like, no one's going to see me. I'm going to stay up there. And Gary, I'm going to throw you under the bus on this one because I remember the service. It was Valentine's Day weekend, and he's talking about the Book of Solomon or Song of Solomon. And I can say this because we've talked about it before, and I hope he's not going to get mad at me, but that service, he's like, don't leave your wife. You don't leave your wife. Oh, I wanted to run down here, and I was like, you don't understand. We're going to fight this out. And I'm like, he challenged me, and I understand why he was saying at that time. We talked about it, and I'll leave that personal. But when I come into church, I wanted Gary to know who I was. If I'm doing what I'm doing, I'm going to come here. I want him to know who I am. Jumping jacks again. I'm almost done. So I thought, if I'm going to be a part of this church, I want him to understand who I am and who my kids are. So every day after the Sunday service, we'd come down here and we'd, you know, give him a hug, shake hands, thank him. He'd see my kids. And then, finish up. I mean, basically, I mean, I didn't have that aha moment because I think God's been in my life, but I can say this. Going through all the struggles in life, I mean, I can't do it alone. And this church has been great. Yeah.
Thank you, Lord. I love you. You're blessed and loved.
All right. Five more. So I encourage you guys to come and watch the next session because I know a lot of times it's like the hurt or the suffering that you have in your life that brings you closer to God. You're going to hear a really neat story with Coach Ryan. And I'm done. But I want to thank everybody up here because now I've been listening to everybody's stories. It's inspiring because there's, until you put your hand in somebody and really know about them, you don't really know about them.
Some faith, baby. Come on, baby. Love you. You're a blessing.
We're a little bit long today, but that we can't leave them out, right? And we did fine, and we changed our service time. It allowed us to do something like this today. You know, so 8:30 turned out to be a pretty good thing. Amen? So I want to just say this. Most of these guys, probably the two I don't know as well as right here and right here, okay? I love both of you, and I'm getting to know you better and better. And I want to be your friend. I want you to always be able to count on me. But when I struggled and was struggling and hurting like Mike and like Bob, when your family is crushing, it'll kill you. And I reached out to Coach. And I reached out to Coach over here. You guys, and you helped me, man. You were a blessing to me. You coached me up. You and me used to meet for lunch, remember?
Yeah,
we'd meet for lunch. Yeah. Yeah, almost every other day we'd have lunch, he and me. Because he was struggling, I was struggling. They helped coach me up, amen? So coaches are important, right? Amen? Come on, I got a hush. Thank the Lord for them. You enjoyed them today. Come on. I think they enjoyed you today, guys. Praise God. Amen.
Look at that. Praise God. Yes. Thank you for what you do in our town. Thank you for loving our kids, man. Thank you for making a difference, not being ashamed of the Lord. Amen. Standing up here today. Praise God. Amen.